Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk with member Luke Smith. We're going to ask him to explain his success. We're going to ask him every question and most likely really embarrass the hell out of him. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Matt asked, I have a 10-acre parcel that appears to have road access and an interested buyer who wants to buy it. However, he says he can't get to it. He tried and there is a gate across the road that is locked. Sounds familiar. It looks like it's off a path, but I guess the path ends short of it and it becomes private. Should I pass on this parcel?
Luke, Jack? This is a perfect opportunity for you to answer this question if you're interested.
Yeah, I wouldn't pass on the parcel. I mean, you just tell the guy most good old country boys keep a wire cutter in their truck.
That's awesome. Right under the rifle.
You know what? All three of us need to answer this question separately.
Well, this is my answer, so maybe I'm a little different. But and other guys keep, you know, a bale of wire in their truck too, because some fences you wire up and other ones are chained with padlocks. And a lot of those chained with padlock fences have multiple padlocks. Each padlock is a different person or different family that goes through that gate. You cut a link out of the fence or out of the chain, and you put your own padlock on there, whether it's a key or a code or whatever you like, and there's your gate access. You know, just make sure you close the gate behind you, because that's the way you really piss people off, is if you don't close the gate. And that's how a lot of the country is. That's just how it is.
Now that we've got the felony portion of the show out of the way, Jill, how would you answer?
I love it. Yeah, I wouldn't pass either. So
yeah, I wouldn't pass either.
No, me personally, I don't carry that stuff around, but I would, you know, be tracking down maybe whose fence it is at that point. And, you know, but for as far as, you know, for the parcel and all that good stuff, you know, I would just let the guy figure it out. That's really it. I wouldn't pass on the parcel. And because I've had this situation and my buyers figured it out somehow. We didn't actually, it really was a non-event for me.
Yeah. I mean, we get this all the time. And the answer is just find a way in.
Yeah. I love
you
Luke's
know,
way.
I love your specific response, Luke. I mean, I've never actually cut a fence, but I have, you know, found a way in. You mm-hmm. just drive along the fence until you find a way in.
Exactly. Yeah. Hop the fence and walk from there if you can.
I had a property like that, 40 acre in northern Arizona. Four or five people went to look at it, and there's a fence, and they weren't comfortable finding a way or going through the fence and things. And one guy said, you know, I can see the property from standing on the fence post, and he sent me some pictures of it. And he said, there's some cars there. It looks like somebody's camped out sleeping there. They haven't built anything, but they're living out of their cars, and it looks like they're right in the middle of the property. And it's beautiful, and I love the area, and everything's great, but I can't figure out what to do with it. Next guy came along, and he says, I love the area, it's beautiful, everything's great. There's a gate, so I went and I talked to the sheriff in town, whose gate is that, how do I get through, and that kind of thing. And the sheriff went out and opened the gate for him, and he went over there, and guys are sleeping in their cars, and he asked the sheriff what he should do. You know, he says he wants to buy the property. People are sleeping there, and the sheriff said you should go talk to, forget the guy's name, at the local church. It's a very Church of Latter-day Saints kind of town. And so this guy was from Texas. He drove from Texas to northern Arizona to look at the property, and he wasn't going to leave until he figured it out, you know. And so he talked to whoever it was that he got introduced to at the church that the sheriff told him to talk to. And he said he wanted to move there. He wanted to bring his family. And he wasn't part of the church, but he wanted to be a part of their community. And the guy at the church said, that's great. Let's see who's out there. I think I know who it is, and we'll find somewhere else for him. And so the church went out there, and they offered help to the people that are living out of their cars and politely asked them to move somewhere else. They pointed them out to some other vacant land somewhere, and everybody won. The guy bought the property. He was so happy, and you know, he had a gate, he had gated property with yeah, no one sleeping on it. Yeah. And he just had to ask. He asked the sheriff, you know?
Wow. So. I mean, talk about getting it done. No matter what it takes, getting it done. Plus, you probably never left your house for this whole thing, right?
No, I didn't go out there.
What were the economics on the deal?
Well, I was kind of depressed because it didn't sell for a while. And so he wanted to do terms, so I did terms. I paid $1,500 for the property. And I got, I think the guy gave me, this was a long time ago. It's like a year ago. I think it was like $2,000 he gave me down. And then he's still making payments of, I think it's $175 a month. Mm-hmm. So I still get his payment every month, and I forget how long, but I was going to come out at, it was like $7,000 or $8,000.
Wow.
When all the payments come in. So just long payments over time, but I got more than my money back out of the front end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Did you send, you obviously send a lot of mail out like we do. Did you send an offer for $1,500 for a 40-acre property?
No, I sent a bunch of other offers, and this church, different church in the South replied, and they had one of the little properties that I'd made an offer on. And so I bought that, and they said, we also have this one. And I was like, geez, you know, that was the first 40 acres I ever bought. I'm like, I don't know how much to offer. This is what I have.
You sound like Jill. So, that's what Jill would do. I would offer him $4,000.
Yeah,
I know.
They got back to me later, this church that I paid for the property, and they got it off of someone from their congregation or member, whatever you call them, who passed on. And the church has, like, no money, and they were so excited. They were telling me about the front door that leaks and it's, like, ruining the carpet and stuff, and they want to fix that. And they were just hoping they could get enough money to fix the door, but I gave them so much money they could fix the door, fix the carpet, and, like, a bunch of other stuff they were talking about, a bunch of maintenance on the church. They were, like, crying happy. That's more money than the congregation gives them in a year, is what they said.
Everybody wins. There you are, solving their problem. That was awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Actually, reach out to Luke Smith also. He's on there a lot. Today's topic, this is the meat of the show, is we talked to member Luke Smith. He's one of our original members, and he explains his success. So, Luke, you know, what's the secret, man? Because you're killing it, obviously. I'm going to have later in the show some real specific questions, like how many deals you do and stuff, but let us in on the big picture.
Well, I got the idea in my head that I would start sending letters out every week, you know, no matter what. I just start mailing out letters every week, making offers every week, and set the schedule. And then over time, I'd figure out how many offers I should be making depending on what I can keep up with. And so I started out, and I was thinking I'd send, you know, like, 3,000 or 4,000 offers or something a week. I got to week four. By the time I was doing week four, I couldn't keep up. I mean, there's no way I could keep up. I was researching land 24/7, trying to reply to all the people who wanted to sell land to me, and trying to pay for it. I mean, running to the bank and running to the notary and doing the paperwork side as fast as I could. And I didn't have the time to, like, do another mailer. And I had this group going with other people off the Success Plant. Kind of the idea was we'd rotate it around the group and send these mailers out, kind of automate it. Maybe I'd be doing every other one or every fourth or fifth one or something with a couple other guys. And they would be doing them in between. But it never really rotated because they were so busy. They couldn't keep up, and they couldn't do the next week. And so I stopped doing it weekly, And I've been kind of running on those fumes ever since. And that was like June or something. May, June. Wow. No, it's January. I've done a couple mailers in between, but nothing like before. And the residual just keeps coming in. You know, you put land up for sale and people say, oh, you should buy my land too. Yep. And the deals just keep coming.
So, like, what do you, that first run up to June, how many units, how many offers do you think you sent out?
I think the biggest one was like 4,000 in 1 week, but wow. Sometimes I didn't get enough data, and doing all the polls and scrubbing it down, I'd scrub down the data, and it scrubbed down so much, I'd only get, you know, I was aiming it more, but I'd only get like 1,500 or 1,800 mailers. So, you know, less than 15,000 mailers.
Right. Okay.
10 to 15,000 was the main push of it. Since then, I've done some bigger mailers. Some of them have, I tested some different stuff. Like I tried doing up to 80% of the population of properties that fit my description instead of like 20% of the population. Mm-hmm. And I got some deals out of that that are probably a lot higher margin deals.
Right.
But I got a lot more like people that call and chew me out or ask a lot of questions, a lot more questions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they legalized marijuana in California, but really? Come on, buddy. you know, different kinds of questions. So it's not as accurate to mail everybody really low offers. It's more accurate to do more data scrubbing and mail low offers to the higher statistic probability crowd to get back to you.
That's what I think.
And I did that to vacation properties. I mailed them a lot like I mailed the desert areas. And I thought I offered a lot of money compared to what it looked like the properties are trading for. And, you know, like maybe 25% of the bottom end properties in the marketplace for the area. And, you know, same thing. That last mailer was a little over 4,000 letters. And I sent them out first class mail. Like in the past, I'd usually do standard mail, so it spreads it out over more time. It's a lot easier to answer the phone when not everyone gets the letter the same day.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, first class is great to get the phone started in like a couple days from now. And standard, if you could do first class and a standard back to back, they line up just perfect. But I had cash and I was like, okay, ready to go. So I did a first class, a little over 4,000 unit mailer, and phone literally blew up. And it's just really hard to keep up with that much call volume. And I just hate and hate and hate. And you know, I had a couple deals that came in, not at the prices I offered, but like negotiated higher prices that I could probably make a good deal of money on. But it's I've just passed them. I'd rather send out more mail and get more accurate than taking the ones that are negotiated.
This is this is beauty of this business model, man. You nailed it. So you don't have to do the deal if you don't want to do, because you know next week there's going to be 25 more deals.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So did you send mail out or send offers out like this before you joined our group?
Yeah, I was skeptical. I didn't want to pay for your program and I didn't want to pay for much of anything, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not against you or what, but...
No, I get it. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
My money, I'd rather put it to work and what I think would be best. So I tried. I was watching... you know, your free stuff and reading everything I could on the free side. And I think that was very much before Success Plant was going and there was hardly anything, if anything, on there at all. And like Seth Williams and other random stuff on the internet, people making offers. So, okay, I'll give it a try. I wrote my own letter and just started mailing out offers. I got the data off of Agent Pro, which is really cheap way to start. And I started sending out these offers, and I was really surprised at how many people called me back. I didn't buy anything, but you know, I'd send out like 100 offers. I'd print them and stuff them myself, and I couldn't figure out how to get like the mailing address part to work on my printer. So I was handwriting them, right?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It took me so long to figure out how to get the envelope print thing to work. I says, heck with it. I'll just write them faster. So I wrote them out, and just really high response rate when you handwrite them like that with my horrible handwriting. And they think they're calling the mental institution my office. <so low. laughs> And, you know, they'd all give me advice on how I could do better business and stuff. You know? But I was just surprised how many people actually read the mail and called me back. Like, they actually picked up the phone and called me after getting some junk mail. There's got to be something to this. Like, I get junk mail all the time, and I never pick up the phone. I can't think of one time ever I picked up the phone off of a piece of junk mail. That response rate is just not there. It's not something I do. And these people did. They picked up the phone. They called me. Right. And so I knew there had to be something to this. I just started researching more. And you guys sent out an offer for your program. You get this piece of land if I buy the program right away. And so I started researching the land you offered. And it looked too good to be true. So I gave it a try.
It was the Elko, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Luke? A 20-acre property in Nevada. Elko,
Nevada?
Yeah.
It was a 10-acre one.
Oh, 10, okay.
I used to sell a lot of stuff on eBay in the past, and I figured, you know, I could sell that thing on eBay and watched your program, studied your stuff and how to actually do the paperwork and transactions and, like, the whole detailed circle of the business, or else I wouldn't have known what I was doing. And I put the thing up on eBay. I figure I'm just going to try eBay, test it, because it would be nice if that worked and I could just dump everything on eBay. And so I made a video and all the information I could come up with on the property and made this ad and posted it. And I put it on there for $1, no reserve, $1, let it fly, see what happens. And it came back and it looked like somebody bid $3,333 and someone outbid them by $50. It was like $3,383.33. You know, that's like twice what I paid for the program.
Right.
I got my money back double off of the free property you guys gave me for buying the program.
Awesome.
That was sweet. So I've tried to sell others on eBay since. Some of them did really well. Some of them not so well. I think it's a lot better to sell them through a lot of the other websites on the internet. So I've given up on trying to sell through eBay for various reasons. And they sell faster on other websites. Like, if you do a 30-day auction on eBay versus putting it on 5 or 10 other websites, I mean, you might have it sold in 2 days or 5 days or something.
What are your favorite sites, or what are all the sites that you use?
Yeah, without eBay's fees. So right now, I think I'm getting most of my leads from Land and Farm. I used to get more from LandWatch. LandWatch changed their system a little bit. Used to be able to buy showcase property for like $50 a month. You could showcase one of your properties and just get at the top of the pile, and you get everybody to go look at your property first, and it would sell a couple days later. You put another one in there and that sells, and you know, again and again and again on the same $50. It's way better than eBay. They changed it so you can't do that, because I would showcase it for the county. Now they've got not counties, but they have like regions. And ever since they changed the regions, I've been watching like the click-through volumes and stuff, and it's been going down for me. Because people don't search by county, or they don't look at the county anymore, and then sort it by the cheapest property in that county. If you look at the cheapest property in that county, my stuff still comes up, the counties that I'm dealing in, but their website's not set up for that. It's set up for like the region, you know, 3, 4, or 5 counties, or this half of the state or whatever, depending on the area. Mm-hmm. And I still come up as the cheapest usually, but it just doesn't seem to produce the buyers that it used to.
We're having the exact same experience. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Land and farm. I haven't been able to figure that one out. You get your listings on there, and I think new listings get featured and showed off more than older listings. I think they've got some kind of criteria in their algorithms for that. And then every now and then, they promote your properties. And I don't know how they pick up on whatever property gets promoted, but every now and then one of my properties gets promoted through their system. Like, they send out these blast emails or promotion things and newsletters and updates, like region or state or city or county, like different really specific people that were searching for that, something like that. And so they have this like upselling kind of system going on in their background that I don't see because I'm not shopping land on there. But the people that are shopping land, they refer to it and they tell me about it. That's how I learn about it. So one of my properties, for example, I got this random one in South Carolina, and it got featured as best deal in the state on Land and Farm. And I got more phone calls than like sending out a mailer. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Like, everybody in South Carolina wanted to buy the property at the same time. And so I get those waves every now and then from Land and Farm. And so people hit that, and then they see one of my properties because it's the cheapest, because it's the best deal, because it's got a lot of like click-through, high conversion rate or something kind of accuracy that they're looking at. They promote it out to their others, and those people look at my other properties. So that brings a lot of sales through. And the people just go to my website and buy it, you know, right. And then, you know, one guy will be mailing me cash. Another guy will be like trying to send me PayPal or something. And another one, because they can't buy it on the website because someone else already bought it. Wow. They get like 3 people buying the same property at the same time. Like, guys, it's already sold, you know?
Right.
But when they hit it hard and stuff just disappears. So we get a lot of traffic through there. I'm also on Lands of America. I get a little bit there. Zillow, get a lot of people from Zillow, but I don't think so many like actual buyers. It's a lot of tire kicking, question beginner type shoppers that might come around later on. The Craigslist people, I get a lot still through Craigslist. Craigslist is a lot of work to keep the listings up on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I get flagged a lot. And it's just a lot of work. I keep putting them up, but get a lot of people through Craigslist. They go find the property, you know, they go look at it, they buy it while they're on their phone. They look at Craigslist while they're on their phone. They go find the property on their phone, and then they buy it from their phone while they're standing there.
My exact experience on Craigslist is the people that get to you on Craigslist are super serious.
Yeah, they're very tech savvy too. Your website has to be set for phone, like checkout. You got to check out all enabled, you know, phone ready, enabled and stuff. They're not cruising Craigslist on their desktop. Mm-hmm. They're carrying it in their pocket. And trying to think of what else. Those are the main ones.
I had no intention of talking about this today, but, you know, we changed our Landstay website to Landpin. And we're addressing, through talking to a ton of people, now you included, all of these issues. And so we intend on, taking a substantial amount of market share for selling vacant land online. Really, it's just the two, Land and Farm and Land Watch. And I think Land Watch is making a mistake after mistake after mistake. And you just confirmed an additional mistake. So Landpin, our new website, and will be released later this month, will solve all those problems. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're throwing a small fortune at to drive traffic toward it, and I'm very confident it's going to work.
I've got a lot of buyers off of the old Land Stay or now Land Pen. Sorry, I forgot to mention that one, but I mean, it's working really well. It's very wholesale guys, you know, the guys that come in, they'll buy 5 properties or, you know, 10 properties or something. They rarely buy just one property. They want to buy a list of them that they can go remarket and sell on terms or sell for more. And, they've been great guys. They come back, they sell those, they come back and get more.
And, wow. So you, as an early adapter, because we chose you and about 8 other people to post a bunch of property on the first draft of that website, you actually sold property based on that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's totally land dealer guys that go through there look at that stuff. And I've referred that website to a lot of people too. You know, they ask, you know, I want land in Florida. I bought some land from you. I also want some land in somewhere else that I'm not doing deals. You know, I say, go look at the other guys on here. Go to Land Stage, Land Pen. It's one of my featured partners on my website.
Oh, and great. Okay.
So when I'm talking to people, I'm usually referring them over there. Like, don't just look at the generic places. This is where the dealers go. This is where the stuff comes from. This is like the source.
Nice.
Over here and get good prices and get it done right. And
yeah, those are hassle-free sales too. When you sell it to an industry person, and we talk about it on the show all the time, it's just they don't have any questions. They're like, where do I send the money?
Exactly. Yep. Just want to get them their deed as fast as you can.
So how many deals are you doing like a month? Sales, acquisitions, level? Give us a rundown. Just basic stuff.
Well, I'm running on fumes right now. I kind of took a little bit of time off around Christmas, New Year's. My inventory has been plummeting and I need to ramp up the mailers. I didn't want mailers coming through when I was spending time with the kids.
Yeah.
They're not in school and stuff. So now is the first day that they're back in school. And I plan to go crank up the mailers again. I was thinking I would get it cranking for the calls to start today, but I've just been slow. Like September was a really good month for me. I did, I think it was 67 properties I sold in September. And then October, it wasn't that many, but I think it was in the 50s, you know, 50 some properties. And then November, my inventory is dropping. This stuff sells that fast, right?
Yep.
And, but I was still buying. I would buy more properties almost every day at that time. And, November was more like maybe 30 properties kind of volume. And December has been a lot slower. It was in the 20s, probably upper 20s in December.
I keep telling Jill, it does. The holiday season is not a busy season. She keeps disagreeing.
But he's out of inventory, too, a little bit.
If I had the inventory I had going into the summer, I think volume would have been multiples that. It's a factor of my inventory going down. It's been less smaller dollar properties and more bigger dollar properties. Switching from, not meaning to, but just as it's been happening, switching from these properties that I can sell for $1,500 or $2,000 or $4,000 or something to properties that I hope to sell for $10,000 and $20,000 and $50,000. That's just less numbers of transactions, but maybe more profit margin. So I don't think my profit margin has changed drastically since the summer. Like some of the deals I got off recently were, you know, a deal that's like better dollar margins than a boatload of the little guys. I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's just bigger dollars on the bigger deals.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. We made that switch about 3 or 4 years ago and never went back.
Yeah. I'd like both those markets to be firing in my portfolio. So I got a lot of the old guys that want more of the, you know, sub $1,000 properties or sub $2,000 properties that they can go sell on terms. They want to do them in portfolios. They don't want to just buy them one at a time. And hey, they can make a lot of money on that. They can diversify their risk amongst multiple properties instead of buying one of these fancier ones. Yep. And it totally makes sense to me. I got to get the mailers rolling to buy more of those. And I know exactly what I want to mail and how much I want to offer. And I've got that plan set. I've been working on it and cooking that plan kind of the last 2 months, but trying to make the plan for the next year is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stamp it out so I know my mailers. I want to get back to a weekly mailer. I don't know how many offers I got to send out a week to hit the numbers that I want to hit over this next year, and do it on a, you know, break it down to weekly basis and then compile it into a monthly basis and eventually an annual basis, and just have that set the base and grow from there. So I've been doing a lot of data gathering on multiple areas and population, not people population, but parcel size, population, and statistics of things about those parcels that makes them higher probability from my point of view of being a deal or not, and ranking them and trying to take that list out over the next year.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions that we get all the time, and I can't wait to hear your answer, because, you know, they, our listeners and our members hear us say that all the time in different ways, but I'd love to hear from you. Do you think there's a chance that you can overmail a county? Like, if everybody at the same time decided to mail a county, do you think that, is it possible? Or have you seen it, ever seen it happen?
Well, there's a particular county that's mailed a lot in Arizona because it's near the river and there's a lot of good attributes to it. And I just had a guy, a newer member, approach me yesterday and say he mailed this county. I'm like, oh man, really? Everybody mailed that county. And it's like, yeah, I didn't get a whole lot of responses, but I got this deal I don't have the money for. I wonder if you can work with me on it. And he shows me the deal, and it's, I don't know how much specifics I should get into or not, but it's a lot of medium acreage properties and larger acreage properties. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it would be awesome. I could sell those properties in no time, and the prices he got on them are spectacular.
Awesome.
It's like, how did this guy get through the barrage of mailers that's probably gone his way in the last year? Maybe the barrage of mailers warmed him up to the prices that these guys have negotiated. I don't know. It's just maybe the time of his life wasn't there that he had to, you know, read his mail and think about this stuff. Or maybe the doctor just told him some bad news or something. Who knows what happens? And he's got to sell. He wants to sell, and he wants a stupid low price because this other member told him he'd buy it all, even though he doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
So I think I'd probably put the money up, and we do some kind of deal or work together on it.
That's great.
And, you know, go take out the guy's whole portfolio. And it's just, you do that once and the guy trusts you and he's got other land. Mm-hmm. And then you got shots at the next and the next and the next wave that he's got. Guys like that know other guys with land. Yep. And next thing you know, it's their brother or their cousin or their neighbor or somebody.
If they realize you have a lot of cash and they know you're going to close the deal, it's, you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Not just talking about it, but you actually pay them. So I'm going to do the due diligence and stuff on it. And, it's probably totally against your guys's risk tolerance and what you tell people. But I think probably just, I keep doing these without escrow, you know, probably 30-40 grand worth of land. Close it. Cause I could probably sell it faster than the escrow paperwork and dealing with those people. And yeah.
I mean, if he individually owns it, and I mean, there's a bunch of reasons why you, that pass that I would check for. But, I mean, no, it's not the honor risk threshold.
It looks totally straightforward.
It sounds like Luke has a big reserve, too. If anything goes sideways, he can solve any problems. Because that's one thing Jack always says. Money can solve a lot of problems.
Well, he's got, you know, he's got bolt cutters in his trunk.
That, too.
That's great, man. So what advice would you have for somebody who's brand new at this? Whether they're in our group or not in our group or just thinking about it, or, you know, our listening population is pretty large. And, you know, there's a lot of people in our, not a lot, but we're getting to the point where we're going to turn off taking in any more members. So what advice would you give to people that want to get into business, but don't maybe necessarily want to be involved in our group?
Most people don't believe. I think the only way to believe this is to test it. Just, I mean, I test theories all the time. Doesn't mean they come true, but I learn a lot. And by testing mailing offers to people and seeing what kind of response I got, I started believing in this system. And I think if it's really hard to hear that from somebody and believe them without just testing it on your own. I think if you do your own test, whether the offers come back, whether you're even gonna take the offers seriously or not. Jack's got a free test that he talks about. So putting putting some feelers out on Craigslist saying, hey, I want to buy vacant land. I'll pay cash. What do you got?
Yep.
Kind of ad. Just testing it and then seeing what kind of stuff comes back. See what kind of prices people ask for and figuring out how to research this stuff. And so, what questions do you ask? You know, what am I looking for when it comes to buying an asset like this?
When you started, what were your concerns? Like, obviously you had validity concerns, which I did too. But, I mean, were you concerned about, what were you concerned about, if anything?
Like, how to close one of these transactions, you know, because we're always told that you need a real estate agent, and the real estate agent says, well, you know, it's over my head. We need a title agent. And the title agent says, it's over my head. We need it. You know, well, first it's the escrow and then the title. And then we still got to bring in the insurance company and all these people in between and bankers and stuff. You got to put them all together before you can pull off a transaction. You can really believe in that. Having that transaction. It's all these scary stories about people that bought land and you found out later that you don't have the water rights or somebody's got a lien on the property, or, you know, five generations ago somebody made up some restrictions on the property that don't let you whatever. Like, that person's dead and gone. Who enforces those restrictions?
Exactly. You
know, who's out there trying to make this stuff happen? And what it comes down to is this is an industry that's not policed. There's a court system when someone complains or they feel wronged, but there's no, like, I come from the brokerage industry where every email I sent, every communication I had is basically recorded and open to our compliance officers, and the compliance officers are watched by the government alphabet soup of regulators, and they're always slapping my wrist and telling me I can't do this, I can't say that, and I can't, you got to say it more like this because all the liability and everything that might come along with it, and the regulations that are there, because somebody did something wrong before I was born, they drew up these regulations. And the real estate industry isn't like that. It's much more of the Wild West. It's a lot more open and it's a lot more free to interpretation. It's not saying you go do something wrong, but it's if you think you're doing it right and you're following some basic guidelines on how to fill out a deed, and, you know, just you got to have a couple things on there that they want, the rest is up to you. I mean, it's up to you to tell the person who's buying, or if you're buying, you to do the due diligence who you're buying from, to make sure stuff's valid and it's real and it's going to stand up. And so a lot of it is just saying this is how it is, and delivering that sales pitch in a solid way, be like you're coming from a point of knowledge. And that's what the industry's foundations are on. It's like generations of that kind of paperwork. You know, our grandparents didn't use real estate agents and title companies and escrows and all banker, hopefully not all the bankers and everybody in between.
It's so funny, Luke, and you're so right. And it's I got to share. And you're right. You're doing the right thing, and you know what to do. What's interesting is Jack and I are actually putting together a whole new show right now, and the whole premise is telling the world you don't need a real estate agent. You can do these deals. You don't need to have, like you said, the broker and the insurance and all those things. All that. I don't know how to call it.
Well, we keep around the office. We call it kill your real estate agent show.
Yeah,
we're not going to call it kill your real estate agent, but it'll be like break up with your real estate agent or something.
I call it you don't need no stinking agent.
Everybody hates real estate agents. Everybody.
We all have horror stories.
Like right up against politicians, you know. Yeah. I've never been steered in the right direction by a real estate agent.
Yeah.
So it's so fun to not like them.
It's going to be so interesting, Luke. You'll love this because Jack just came up the other day, have people calling in, you know, and they can tell us their stories about, I paid this agent, you know, they got $40,000 commission and I did all the work kind of stories because, you know, they're out there.
I mean, all you got to do is ask your immediate family or friends. They'll come up with 15 reasons why the last deal they did on our primary residence was horrific.
Exactly. And we're all trained, like Luke just said, we're all trained to that. Yeah. That's the way you have to do it.
Right.
So that's a lot of this business is figuring that out.
There are a lot of people that reach out to us, Luke, that think that you have to have a real estate license to buy and sell land.
Yep.
You know, they think that we're breaking the law by not having a license.
Exactly.
It's hilarious. You're right. It's totally unregulated. And if you get rewarded, unlike some other industries, you really get rewarded for being honest and having some ethics and following through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Perfect. Honest. And this is an information era. I mean, you can't screw people and get away with it.
That's right.
Your name gets trashed. That's it. It's like trying to sell bad stuff on eBay. You know, your ratings kill it. You don't get to do it for very long. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all.
Well, Jack and I were talking about that last night. This is kind of funny. Dating.
It's like he's at the dinner table sometimes.
I know.
Like the way Luke's talking right now. It's the same conversation we have at the dinner table.
Totally.
Go ahead.
But you know, it's in this day and age, yeah, if you're a bad person and you're a mean guy on a date, it's going to come out. It's going to be on Facebook. You know what I mean? Social media.
Right.
So it's the same with our business. You better be transparent so people can find you, and B, you better be a good person and doing good stuff. And if you are, like you said, Jack, and you know Luke, you win.
Yep.
Yeah. We used to finance little penny stocks, and some of the guys in a couple of cases would show up all over social media as womanizer and a cheat and a thief and a whatever.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work because people you sell the stocks to are researching these companies, and these guys that run the companies show up on there and they want to sell the stock, as they probably should, as we shouldn't be financing them, as we shouldn't be involved in companies like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with dealing real estate or whatever business, doctors. I mean, if they're doing something wrong, it should be all over the internet.
We should
be able to pull it up and see it. And read it, make our own opinion, whether we believe in it or not, and run with it. So that's the policing action of the real estate industry. I mean, we could probably all name a couple people that have been accused of selling land multiple times or something. That's the last thing you ever want to get accused of.
Exactly.
And it's so much more profitable to keep a clean, straight name, do everyone right, teach them. Watch them come back. They refer their friends or refer their family, come back and do other deals, buy other land from you, mm-hmm. or sell more land to you. It's just good business practice, whatever industry it is.
Hey, did you have to learn how to do mail merges, or was there any technical hurdle you had to get over before you started doing this? We get a lot of questions like that too from people that are not necessarily in our group, but just in the industry.
I used to do some mail merges in my previous business. I did them through Microsoft, you know, what was it, the database or something, whatever it was called. back in the day.
Access.
Yeah, access database, mail merges, and it's the same kind of thing as pulling data off a spreadsheet when it comes down to the mail merges. But I mean, why you don't really have to do mail merges anymore. The people that I do the mailings through, you just send them the file and they do the mail merge.
Yeah.
You just boil down the data and you make sure you got, like, you know, the columns, the name of each column you want to use fits the placeholder in the letter that you want to send them. And they take the data from the spreadsheet and they put it in the letter for each little piece. So the software does it, you know?
Yep.
The mail company wants that data. They don't want it all merged together in a PDF or something. They want that data because they run it through the U.S. mail systems computers. And they, you know, if someone has their address forwarded or that kind of stuff, the U.S. mail computers changes it and recommends different address, and it automatically gets sent to the new address. And so it saves a lot of work for the post office, and the mail company gets lower postage for doing that. Or if it's a bad address, they get kicked out.
One of the big reasons I don't think you should never, you know, print some stuff out and stuff an envelope at the kitchen table and put a stamp on it, because mm-hmm. you miss all the software benefits.
Yeah, miss the software benefits. And another thing to be careful of, I used to just tell people when they called back, okay, I'm going to send the money by notary to wherever I sent you that letter next week. Is that cool? Yeah, okay. Click, you know, deal's done. And it turns out that wherever I sent the letter was forwarded from the address I have in the database.
That's a first. I've never heard that before. You got to confirm that address.
Got to confirm that address because the mail company updates it on you. Yeah. But I really boiled the calls down to that. I mean, basically just close it on the one call. Try not to do back and forth calls. Like, I'm going to call you back after I confirm stuff. No, I just confirm it all on the original call. If there's any problems, I'm going to call you back. Otherwise, the notary is going to be calling you and bringing you your money. That's been a big time saver and hassle reliever too, trying to get a hold of somebody the second time.
Exactly. Well, any last words or advice for people who we're about to release a product called offers2owners.com, and it involves, you know, everybody who's a Land Academy member will get it as part of their subscription. But we're getting a lot of requests from people who are already in the real estate industry, but are really kind of frustrated with their deal flow. And so it's basically a subscription to RealQuest, and then the new mailing company that we retained, LetterStream, to send out mail for less than the price of a stamp. So, you know, do you have any recommendations or any words of advice before we close out here?
So what do they get in the program? You go in there and you say, I want to mail offers to this area and this dollar price and this size, and it just happens, or they do the search? Or
no, it's you still have to scrub just exactly the same way that you do it, but it doesn't, the product itself doesn't involve all the other stuff that Land Academy members get. So it's quite simply, if you're pretty familiar, like if you're at the level where you are, all you need is the data and then a real inexpensive, efficient way to submit your mail merge, or the data to do the mail merge, because these guys do the mail merge for you too, and save a ton of money on postage. That's all it is. It's a scaled down version. But yeah, you know, people who are very successful in real estate are a little afraid of that for some reason. So that's why we came up with this product, just so that they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that'd be nice and easy. They're scared of sending the offers?
No, they're just, no. They're just, you know, they may be a little bit older than us, and they're not as computer savvy. They know all about real estate and where they want to buy and the prices that they want to offer and all that. So,
yeah, the technical side, I haven't had any problems with it, but I've answered a lot of questions for people that seem to get stuck on some little detail somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't usually need to be a problem. It becomes a problem in their head for some reason. You know, it's just, the main part is just getting started. Just got to get started, get that first one going, break the seal, and all those problems seem to disappear. I think most of those problems are between your right ear and your left ear. And they just, you know, it's a mental challenge to get over those problems more than a technical challenge.
Yep, I agree. Luke, it was great talking with you, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your success. I mean, I'm sure you're going to take this thing to the end now, right? I hope.
That's the idea. I got some, finalizing the drawings of a map for this next year, and I'm going to try to hit it out of the park. Awesome. And so I want to say thank you guys too for the knowledge and the information and the tools to make this business happen. I think it's a very fun business. I can't stop talking about it. I'm always talking about it with my friends and like, don't you ever talk about anything else?
That's awesome, man.
What is there else to talk about? This is a sweet business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks again, and it was great talking. Thanks for having you on, letting us talk you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And inspiration. That's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. Thanks again, Luke.
Great show, Jill.
That was so much fun. What and inspiration and knowledge and, you know, and I remember Luke being very skeptical.
I do too.
And I really love that.
I do too.
And it's funny. I just had a call the other day with a guy and I pretty much said, you got to get out of your own way. Yep. You know, like Lou said, most of the issues are between your ears, which is true. Well, like I only should mail people with tax link of properties. Wrong. I should only mail such and such. Wrong. I should write my own letters because that's going to save me money in the end. Wrong. You know, there's so many things that you have to get past.
Those are awesome stories that he told, but the message I really want to convey is that it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not here recruiting new people. Mm-mm. We're kind of here to just spread the word.
And save people.
Yeah.
Like with our new, you don't need no stinking real estate agent show.
Fixing up a house and selling it is hard.
Yes.
This is, you know, making a bunch of deals. I love the, you know, at one point he said, look, there's a bunch of deals I just passed on because I know there's going to be a bunch next week.
Exactly. Yeah. Now he's so in. He obviously started, went crazy in the beginning, which I love. We are still riding on the coattails from residual mailers from years ago, 10 years ago, and I still get calls. And once you get that process going, and now Luke is so nice. He's at the point, he can really pick out just the ones he really wants, just the best deals, you know, that kind of stuff. Pick up 10 and 20 from the same person because he has the reserves to do. I would love to know what his bank balance is right now, but I wasn't about to ask.
I mean, I did the math. If you sell 50 properties a month, and you're averaging a $5,000 price, which I think is way lower than what his average probably is. I know ours is way higher than that. You know, it's $250,000 of revenue a month.
Mm-hmm.
And at our margins, he's making a couple $100,000 a month.
Right.
So, you know, he hit on a couple of great things, and he mentioned Success Plan, which is now the Land Academy online community. But I started Success Plan for the reasons that he said, where you just go on there and start asking questions.
Communicate with each other, help each other, and Luke's really
get
vocal.
Get comfortable with it, right.
And helps. This is a good thing for folks to hear. Luke is there and on there all the time, and he's really vocal and really happy to help people because it helps him too.
Right.
So as you post things and issues, as our members post issues and little hiccups and things that got in their way, it helps somebody else, which is great.
Yeah. You know, the other thing you mentioned too is that he's becoming the bank too. So he's so prevalent on the Land Academy community.
Right.
And answering questions and stuff, people are going to him now to fund their deals.
Exactly.
And that's that was my intention.
Exactly.
I knew this would happen when we started it over a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, to have the more senior members help the younger ones, because the younger ones are hungry and they're, you know, they're going to go out and find new ways to find different types of subsections of property owners.
Mm-hmm.
And turn over new stones, you know?
Yep.
And get the financing from the older guys.
Yep.
Not older, but the more senior people in our group.
Or just the people with the cash. The people that, in some of them I've even noticed, because we have our, you know, our deal board hidden for our members on our online community. I see other people that, hey, I don't really have time to do this, or I really don't want to answer the phone, but hey, heck, I got a lot of money here. Happy to fund some stuff and share some deals, and it's helping out everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Yep. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this was the Cashflow from Land show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.